We're holding on Chofres Ahmed Bey's three lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday at Braisa, where Rabbi Akiva points out that it says three times in the Parasha Sota the word nitma'a, and we said they teach us, one Rabbi Akiva says teaches us that she's also after becoming a sota to her husband until she drinks the mei sota, another one that she's also to the boil, and a third one that she's, oh, that if she was the wife of a kohen, she's also to eat truma. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Then Rabbi Shmuel says you can make a kavah chomer to demonstrate that she's also to marry a kohen. And Rabbi Shmuel learns it. So Rabbi Shmuel says you have a kavah chomer to show that she's also to marry a kohen. So they want to ask, what does one thing have to do with the other? Rabbi Shmuel. So what's going on with what Rabbi Shmuel is saying? Omer Rabbi Akiva truma. Here Rabbi Akiva has said that this woman is also to eat truma, or mahadulei ihu kohuna, and Rabbi Shmuel is answering back, I have a kavachomer that she's also to marry a kohen. Rabbi Akiva never said otherwise. So what is Rabbi Shmuel? Saying? The two, and we also have to ask, Rabbi Akiva kohuna manole, where in fact does Rabbi Akiva know that this woman would be also to marry a kohen? Suppose that at this point, after becoming a sota, her husband died. Obviously, if he divorced her, she's a grusha, she can't marry a kohen. But Rabbi Shmuel is learning from a kal vachomer that she would be also to marry a kohen even if her husband died. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva has to be arguing with that. Otherwise, there's no point in Rabbi Shmuel saying it. So where does Rabbi Akiva learn it from if he's using all three nitmas to teach us other things? So again, Rashi explains he can't be learning from the kavah chomer because then he'd be saying the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel. Tosfos mentions if he doesn't hold of evidently he has to hold of Rabbi Shmuel's kavah chomer because otherwise Tosfos learns later on, by the way, that not necessarily because she had relations with somebody who was not necessarily because she was Mizana, which we parcel from Truma. So by the same token over here, then maybe actually we use this Kavah Chomer as a basis for learning that she's parcel of Kahuna. So obviously even Rabbi Akiva does hold of that Kavah Chomer. And besides that, why not? It's a good Kavah Chomer. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have any upschlag to it. So Tosfos gives a reason why in fact Rabbi Akiva, with the Gemara is assuming at this point, wouldn't hold of the kavah chomer. What does Rabbi Akiva hold exactly, and what is Rabbi Shmuel answering him? So you're going to answer, maybe we don't need a pasuk to tell us that she's also to marry a kohen. Because after all, what do we find by this? We find by the sota, it's only a suffix whether she was mizana, and yet we, as we learned yesterday, the posit considers her to a certain extent as though it was a vadai. That's why we said that she becomes also to her husband. Her husband would even get malchus for having relations with her. So therefore, you could say that. Therefore, she's also to marry a kohen. And therefore, you would say, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no reason to have there's no need for a kavah chomer or for anything to learn that she's also to marry a kohen if her husband dies afterwards. Well, you could argue, if that's the case, truma nami lo tiborikra. By that logic, you shouldn't need a pasuk to tell us that she's also to eat truma as well. Shari also ba suffix zoina kazoina. For the same reason, because once she's a suffix zoina, once she became a sota, Then you have the same thing. So she's also to eat truma. We know that a zoina is also to eat truma. The pasuk says in this week's parasha, uvas koyin ki siya leish zor, when she becomes to a zor, and we learned in Yevamos, it means not only when she marries a zor, it means that then in fact she does lose the ability to eat truma, but it also means that she has relations with a zor even outside of marriage, where in this case, she being an Eish HaSish, of course, everybody is off limits to her. In fact, Rashi says Rabbi Akiva himself learns in Yevamos that all the this concept that all the psulim make her possible to eat truma. You have to realize also, Rashi points out, you know, you have the question of whom Kiddushin are tofus with and who they're not. But according to Rabbi Akiva, there's no difference. According to him, any case where there's an Isur Bia, any case where there's even an Isur Lav, then Rabbi Akiva holds, as we learned many times in Yevamos, that Kiddushin are not tofus. So that being the case then, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us, so Rabbi Akiva wouldn't need one of the venitmas to tell us that she's also to eat truma. We can learn it from Kisiya Le'ishazar. Why does Rabbi Akiva need a pasuk to tell us that she's also to eat truma? Why apparently is he not accepting Rabbi Shmuel's Kal v'Chomer to say that she's also to marry a kohen? Tosfos actually discusses over here the possibility that maybe we would say differently that only when Kiddushin could be tofus, would we say that she's also to Kohona and to Truma? Not in this case, she being an Ashes Ish. Kiddushin aren't tofus with her, and everybody is off limits to her. So maybe in fact not. But right now, at least the Gemara is assuming that just the opposite. Any relations that are also to her, which is an Ashes Ish, includes everybody, would in fact make her also to eat Truma and to marry a Kohen. So what's going on in the Braise over here exactly? Why does Rabbi Akiva need a pasuk to tell us that she's also to eat truma, and why is he seemingly not accepting Rabbi Shmuel's Kal v'Chomer to say that she's also to marry a kohen? We have to explain like this. Rabbi Akiva are bar kroy ksivi. According to Rabbi Akiva, what we're going to say in effect is there are four psukim. Kadlabal, one teaches us that she's also to her husband afterwards, having become a soita. The reason why, what do we mean by four psukim is, again, because we have, when it says nitma'ah three times, twice it says nitma'ah without the vav, the third time it says v'nitma'ah with the vav. And as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva darshins vavs and considers that they include something extra, just like yesterday we talked about that he learns from the three times it says uva'u, and each time it has a vav with it, that he learns something extra. So therefore, in effect, you have four things to darshin from over here. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, chad labal, one teaches us that she's also to the husband. V'chad laboyel, one teaches us that she's also to the boyel, as we said in the Mishnah. V'chad l'truma, v'chad l'truma, the third one teaches us that she's also to eat truma. V'chad l'kohona, v'chad l'truma, one teaches us that she's also to marry a kohen. And the fourth one teaches us that she's also to eat truma. Rabbi Akiva is going to say that in fact it's not enough to have the pasuk kisiya le'ishazar, because Tosfos is saying, maybe then you would still say that they're just the opposite. Maybe that means only when kiddushin are tofus, and of course it's an Ashes Ish, kiddushin aren't tofus with anybody. So therefore you need one of the vinitmas to teach us that she is in fact also to eat truma. So in other words, in the Braisa, Rabbi Akiva is saying the fact that she can't marry a kohen, I'm not learning from a Kal v'Chomer, I'm learning from an extra word or an extra vav in the pasuk. Rabbi Shmuel, whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel does not darshin vavs, therefore according to him, tlosa kroy ksivi. Therefore according to him, you only have three psukim to work with. So he says, chad labal, chad laboyo, chad l'truma. So one teaches us she's also to the husband, the second one to the boil, the third one teaches us that she's also to eat truma from then on. Okohuna asya b'kal v'chomer, and then Rabbi Shmuel is going to say that the fact that she can't marry a kohen, we're not learning explicitly from a pasuk, we're learning that rather from a kal v'chomer. So now we understand what's going on in the braisa. Rabbi Akiva did not explicitly mention kohuna, but he meant that the fact that she's also to marry a kohen, we learn from one of those extra word nitma'as, or one of those extra or that extra vav. And Rabbi Shmuel is responding and saying, no, there's no reason, you don't have anything extra in the pasuk for that. Rather, we're learning from a kal v'chomer, and the kal v'chomer was, as we learned in the braisa, that he said that madach a divorced woman is mutter to eat truma. A kohen's daughter, for example, who was divorced, is able to go back to her father's house as long as she doesn't have children or descendants and eat truma, even though she's also to marry a kohen. So in this case where she's also to eat truma, and both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva agree with that because they're learning that from one of the nitmars, then how much more so that she's also to marry a kohen? So therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says you have a good kavachoyma there, and therefore you don't need a word or a letter in the pasuk for that. Well, the Gemara asks, "V'Rabbi Shmuel, mi ma'id itzich krolu truma?" So then, the question becomes: how Rabbi Shmuel knows then that in fact that pasuk is teaching us about truma, and then a kohuna asya b'kavachomer, and then that we can learn the fact that she's also to marry a kohen. We're saying we learn from a kavachomer. How does Rabbi Shmuel know that? Dilma ki itzich l'kohuna? Maybe in fact the pasuk, the nitma'ah, is telling us the fact that she's also to marry a kohen, utruma sharia. Maybe in fact she would be able to eat truma. If you're only learning it from an extra nitma'ah, and you're going to say that then we're going to bring in the other one from a kavachomer, so maybe there is no kavachomer, maybe the pasuk is only telling us that she's also to marry a kohen, and therefore, of course, and Rabbi Shmuel's kavachomer is based on the fact that it's a given that she's also to eat truma, and therefore we can make a kavachomer from it about that she can't marry a kohen. But maybe the pasuk is telling us that she can't marry a kohen, and there's nothing to tell us about eating truma or not eating truma. The answer is amalach. Rabbi Shmuel is going to tell you mistabra drumi debal boil. It's logical to say that the third thing that we're learning from Nitma, again, we have three times it says Nitma, and he says you only have three because you don't have a Vav to Darish, because according to him, you don't Darish in the Vav. So he would say it has to be similar to the Isser to the Baal and Boil. Ma Baal and Boil Mechayim. Now, when's the Isser to the Baal and to the husband and to the Boil is when they're alive. The husband, she's also to, as long as the husband, she's also to, as long as he is alive. In other words, even if he divorces her, and the boil also is only when the husband is alive. In other words, if the husband divorces her, then she's also to marry the boil. So just like those are mechayim. So all of those are only relevant when her husband is alive. Af truma nami mechayim. The same way, we should assume that Rashi points out. I mean, after all, if her husband divorces her, of course she's also to marry a kohen. So what are we saying though? She's also to her husband as long as her husband is alive, and she's also to the boil if her husband divorces her, assuming of course the boil is not a kohen, because then she would have been also to him anyway. So therefore, more logically, we would say that the third thing is also coming to ask her something that would be only while her husband was alive. So therefore, that would be kohuna. So it can't be kohuna, because kohuna by definition she's going to be osir while her husband is alive, because if her husband is alive means he divorced her. If he divorced her, she's anyway also to marry a kohen, as you have in this week's parasha, isha grusha v'isha grusha me'isha lo yikachu. So therefore, of necessity, says Rabbi Shmuel, all three nitmas have to be talking about something that's also while her husband is alive. Therefore, the third one can only be talking about truma, where it's relevant to talk about when her husband is alive. So he divorced her, but nevertheless, she's also, or for that matter, even if she's still married to him, in any case, she's also to eat truma once she became a sota. So then the pasuk evidently is telling us about truma, and then we're learning, the fact that she's also to marry a kohen from a kavachom. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. Ma baal boil mechayim, just like the isser to the husband and the boil is while the husband is alive. Af truma nami mechayim. The same way, logically, that with the isser of truma is also referring to something that happens while her husband is alive. La poki kohuna de la achamisa, as opposed to the isser of kohuna, obviously is only after he dies, because if he divorces her, then she's anyway also to marry a kohen. You don't need a pasuk. It has nothing to do with her being a sota. Even if she never became a sota, the fact that she's divorced would make her also to marry a kohen. Therefore, And Rabbi Shmuel says necessarily, given that the first two are for Baal and Boil, of necessity, the third one must be for Truma. And then, so how do you know Kahuna? Then you would have a Kavah Chaimah for that. V'Rabbi Akiva, so what does Rabbi Akiva answer back to that? Why doesn't he learn that way? Why does he say that you need an extra nitma'a or the vav vin nitma'a to teach us this? So first of all, dumya de baal boil lesley. You could say Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that it has to be that the third iser has to be similar to baal and boil. So he could say that you would say it, among the two, kohuna and truma, which one is more chomer? Kohuna, obviously, that you can't marry a kohen. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say, if you have a choice in the pasuk, which one to say that the third nitma refers to, you're going to say that it refers to marrying a kohen. You wouldn't know from it truma. You're going to tell me, Rabbi Shmuel, that it has to be similar. It has to be mechayim. Why does it have to be mechayim? Each one is in its own place. Some of them are mechayim. Some of them are lachamisa. So he wouldn't have a source for that. She's also to eat truma, and therefore he needs a fourth way to learn it. The inami islay. Even if you're going to say that he does hold of, even if you would say that he holds of that svara of Rabbi Shmuel's, fine. You could say milsa daasi b'kavachomer tarach b'kasev lakra. You often have that something that could have been learned by a kavachomer. The pasuk still takes the trouble to write it out. So therefore, the fact that the pasuk is giving you a fourth way to learn an extra nitma or an extra vav is no big deal. Yes, I could have used your kavachomer Rabbi Shmuel, but instead the pasuk gave it to us straight out rather than telling us to resort to the kavachomer. So that's how Rabbi Akiva would learn. Mefoshim point out, by the way, that usually we do try to darshan everything in the pasuk. Usually we're not going to say that that something that could have been learned by a kavah chomer, instead the pasuk writes out explicitly, because then it means you have something extra in the pasuk. So the Ritva elsewhere points out that where we can find another drasha, then we don't say that. Only when we have, as in this case, Rabbi Akiva is going to say, maybe we don't have anything else to darshan from it, then we're going to say that it's instead the Torah is writing out something that could have been learned by a kavah chomer. But also the Ritva points out elsewhere that the Torah would only do that. We would only say this concept only if the Torah is not really using anything extra for that purpose. Here it has to say the word nitma anyway. So the fact that it says nitma and or vin nitma, the fact that it's not really adding much extra, is fine. We can say that it's an example of the Torah hinting at something which could have been learned by a kavah chomer. But otherwise, if we're talking about a bunch of extra words or something, we certainly wouldn't say that. So that's that, in other words. So now we understand what was going on in the Braisa when Rabbi Akiva mentions that she's also to the Baal, to the Boil, and to Kahuna, and to Truma, rather. And Rabbi Shmuel replies with a Kavachomer saying that she's also to marry a Kohen. What we're saying is Rabbi Akiva does agree with that concept that she's also to marry a Kohen, but instead of learning it from a Kavachomer, he learns it from an extra word or an extra letter in the Pasuk. Now, earlier in the sugya, we talked about the distinction we brought further in the Braisa. It pointed out that we can make a binyan av from a soita to other areas of Tumah v'Tahara in the Torah. We said that by a soita, even though it's only a suffix, ultimately, whether she was mizana, we still treat her to a certain extent as though it was a vadai. Then from that, we learned by the concept of Tumah v'Tahara that when you have a suffix Tumah, in some cases, then we consider the person to be Tomei. If you have, for example, a suffix, whether they touched a sheretz. But we said that a soita takes place by definition in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, because it's only her and the boil together. Therefore, we learn that this concept of suffix Tumah applies only in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And we also said the soita has das lishoel. She has the intelligence to be able to understand what happened and to ask her whether in fact she was mizana or not. So therefore, we learn from that the concept of suffix tumah b'shosha yachid applies only to davar sheyesh bo das lishoel. If we had, as we talked about yesterday, let's say a keli that was placed in b'shosha yachid, and you have a suffix and nobody was holding it, and you have a suffix whether a sheretz touched it, since the keli doesn't have das lishoel, then therefore we're going to say that mis suffix it's tahor. So we said we learned that concept from the soita. Um, so uh, And again, we touched on briefly yesterday, conceivably the Soita herself could be a Ktana. So one, there is in fact the Shev Schweitzer gives an answer and says that maybe you only need Das on one side, given that the Boyle himself has Das, he's a Gadol, then maybe it doesn't matter so much if she's a Ktana. But then different Achronim talk about it's not so simple. After all, even if the Boyle was 9 years old or over, we learned before that nevertheless he asks her, and in that case is a Ktana. So we talked about yesterday that still you can talk about that even a Ktana above a certain age has Das. She may not have full Das. Usually that we usually talk about that comes in only at Bar or Bas Mitzvah, but they can have a more limited kind of Das, just Das Lishol, the Das to be able to answer a question that was posed to them, and therefore that would be good enough over here. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar of Gidol Amar Rab, Dovash Yesh by Das Lishol, Ve'en by Das Lishol, this distinction between whether you have something that has Das to be asked, or something that does not, may high kronafka. Rav Gidol says we're not learning it from the Sota, rather we can learn it from a different pasuk. Actually, the Gemara is going to point out soon that we actually need both psukim. But right now, Rav Gidol is saying you actually have a different pasuk that serves as the source for this distinction. You have like this. A pasuk says in Parashas Tzav, v'habosar asher yigah b'chol tomei lo ya'ochol. The pasuk says meat of a korban that touches anything that's tomei, should not be eaten. Now, the fact that it says Asher Yiga B'chol Tomei, that it will touch anything that's Tomei, rather than just saying, for example, V'abosar Tomei, Asher Yiga Tomei, or something like that. So when it says Asher Yiga B'chol Tomei, implies that it actually definitely touched it. So Vade Tomei Hu D'lo Yachol, HaSafik Tomei V'Safik Tomei Yachol. So the implication of that half of the pasuk seems to be only if you know for sure that it touched Tumah, it touched a Sheretz, or what have you, only then you can't eat it. But if you have a suffix, then the pasuk seems to be implying that you could, in fact, eat it. Ema Sefer, but then if you look at the end of that same pasuk, it continues, V'abosar, as far as the meat, kol Torher Yechal Basar. Anybody who is Torher can eat the meat. Now that seems to be implying, Vaday Tahor Hu D'Yechal Basar, only if a person is definitely Tahor can he eat the meat. Because if it just meant, in other words, that anybody can eat the meat of a korban, it would have said something like V'Cholam Yechlu Basar, or something like that. V'Habasar Kol Tahor Yechal Basar, as far as the meat, anybody who's Tahor can eat it, implies only if he knows for sure that he's Tahor. Implying that if he has a suffix, whether he's tummy or tahor, then he wouldn't be able to eat it. So what is it? Do we say that in the case of a suffix, you can eat korbanos or not? El alav shmamina, therefore Rav Gidol says, you see from that, kan sheyesh bedas lishol, kan shein bedas lishol, that you make the distinction between whether it has das or not. So the first half of the pasuk, which is talking about the meat of the korban, so we're talking about you have a suffix whether the meat became tomei. Nobody was there to watch it. Therefore it's ain't by das lishol. The meat itself, you can't ask whether it became tomei or tahor. Therefore, the pasuk is implying that because of that despite the suffix, you're able to eat it. The second half of the pasuk, where it refers to the person, where the person has das to be asked whether they became tomei or not. Keep in mind, by the way, I mean, das lishol doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to know the facts. You may have, we had, for example, the case back in Nazir, where a couple of people are standing together, and somebody says, I saw a sheretz fall between you two, and I don't know which one of you it touched. So it's not necessarily, when we say yesh by das lishol, doesn't mean that we're going to ask him, and we're always going to get 100% for sure answer, yes, I know I became tomei, or no, I know I didn't become tomei. You could have well have, the person says, I really don't know. A sheretz fell near me, and I'm not sure if it touched me. But the point is, at least you're able to ask them, as opposed to a little child or a piece of meat or what have you, where there's no das to even ask them the question. So the second half of the pasuk, v'abosar kol tahor yechal basar, is implying that in that case, when it comes to the person, it has to be that they know for sure that they're kol tahor, that they're tahor, and if not, then they can't eat it. So therefore, so you have implied in that pasuk the difference between yesh by das lishol and ein by das lishol. So the Gemara says, so why taka do you need two psukim? We have that, but we also have the binyan ab that we learned from Sota. The fact is, we do need both limudim. We do need Rav Gidol Amar Rav's pasuk, and we also need the derivation from Sota. The imid the Rav, if we only had Rav's statement that we just quoted from this pasuk about Basar Sheyiga, have Amina, Bein Bishos Yachid or Bein Bishos Rabin. Then you would think the same thing applies whether in Rishos Yachid or Rishos Rabin. The pasuk, after all, is not mentioning any distinction between those. It's just mentioning a distinction between the person, between the meat versus the person. So you wouldn't have the source of the concept of Rishos Yachid versus Rishos Rabin. It's Tzrich L'migma M'Soita. That particular detail we need to learn from Soita. By the Soita, we said she's, by definition, where she is, secluded with the guy, is Rishos Yachid, and therefore we learn from that that Safek Tumah is a problem only by Rishos Yachid. The Imi Soita, on the other hand, if you only have the Soita, have Amina, Adi Ikadas Negeya Omagia, then you would say, when would you say that a Safek Tumah has to be considered a vadai only if there's das on both sides, only if the one who's touching and the one who's being touched would be tamei, because in the case of the soita, she herself and the boil both have das to know whether she became tamei or not. So in principle, you could ask either one of them. So you wouldn't know the concept where only one of them has das. For example, if you have a person who there's a question whether he touched a sheretz, the person has das, but the sheretz of course does not. So you wouldn't know that from the binyan av from soita tsricha. So for that you need the pasuk from the pasuk by bosar shiiga, and from that and from the combination of those you have all the relevant dinim. Reb Shamshon Afal Hirsch makes an interesting point on all of this in his Pirush on Chumash, by the way, when he gets to these psukim. He points out, you know, like this, the reason why the Torah is putting such stress on das, that only when there's das the shoil, are we saying that Suffolk Tumah has to be treated as Tomei, is to show us you shouldn't think that Tumah is like some kind of magical contamination or something, and therefore as long as it touched, then automatically it becomes Tomei. No, Tumah depends on a person's das. So Tumah, the whole point of Tumah is that a person, that there's times and circumstances, he b'chol explains the whole concept of Tumah v'tara as being based on the idea there are times when a person feels as though the world works a certain way and not that Hashem is running it, and therefore and when a person is in such a state, then he becomes Tomei, and then the process of Tara, however it is meant to re-impress on him that Hashem runs the world. So therefore you have to have a prerequisite for him to become Tomei in the first place is that das, that wrong das that leads him down the wrong path, but not if there was no das lishol. And then he goes on to say that there's also a difference between Rishos Yachid and Rishos Rabim in that regard, because the tzibur is different. The tzibur never loses that connection to Hashem in the same way as the yochid conceivably could, and therefore, when you have it in Rishos Rabim, then there's less reason to worry about a suffix. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Boi b'yom darash Rabbi Akiva v'chol kli cheres chola. We said another one of Rabbi Akiva's drashas that he darshed Boi b'yom when they deposed Rabbi Gamliel as Nasi and appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah instead. So one of the things he darshed on that day is that a pasuk that implies that if a sheretz falls into an oven and you have bread baking in the oven, then that oven will be then the sheretz itself is an avat truma, the oven will be a rishon truma, the bread will be a sheni truma. And Rabbi Akiva learns from the word yitma in the pasuk that the implication is that bread can be metame something else. In other words, the bread being a sheni can create a shlishi truma. So then we had in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yeshua reacted to that. He said, if only you could be around to see this, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because you used to say that you're worried that a future generation is going to think that a shlishi l'tumah is tahor, because there's no posuk for it in the Torah. And in here, Rabbi Akiva just brought a posuk, so now you have nothing to worry about. So boy b'yam dorash Rabbi Akiva v'chol kli cheres chola. Well, the question becomes, ume achad de'ein lo lama tomei. Well, if in fact there's no posuk, then where does Rabbi Yochanan know that it's tomei in the first place? Rabbi Akiva is learning from the pasuk, but in other words, the point is, we're saying that even before Rabbi Akiva came along with his drasha, they already knew that it's tomei. Rabbi Yochanan was just concerned that a future generation might not realize that. Well, where did Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai know this din from in the first place, if not from a pasuk? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, minat Torah ein loy b'din kavachoy miyeshloy. What it means is, it's true that in the Torah, in an explicit pasuk, you don't have a pasuk for it, but we can make a kavachomer to demonstrate that it's tamei. And we're going to go through the Kal v'chomer, and then we're going to see, so why was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai concerned that a future generation might not agree with that Kal v'chomer? So now we're going to go through that. By the way, you have an interesting point. The Rambam says, and he mentions in the Shoshim of Yad Chazaka, and here and there in Mishneh Torah, in the Shoshim, I mean the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and here and there in Yad Chazaka, he mentions that things that are learned with the Yud Gimel Midos are considered more Medibrei Sofim. They usually don't have the full status of something Daraisa. So here we have an example of that, where we say Minat Torah versus Midin Kal v'chomer. Anyway, so the argument goes like this. A person who toiveled today but has not yet had a head of Shemesh, now he is allowed to touch or to eat cholin, and we know that because in this week's parasha it mentions that once a person. So you have like this, once a person has toiveled, then the original truma that he had is gone, but there's still a certain residual truma until head of Shemesh. And the Pasuk says, Va Shemesh v'tor, v'achal yoichom v'nakodshim. Only when the sun goes down, only when nightfall comes, then is he allowed to eat kodshim, where kodshim for this purpose means truma. So in other words, what you have is there's three stages. Once he toiveled, then he's allowed to eat chulin, and chulin for this purpose includes even ma'aser sheni, even though ma'aser sheni has a certain degree of kedusha. A tevul yom is allowed to eat it, but only uvar shemesh v'tahar, then he can eat truma. And if he has to bring a korban, if he's a mechusik kippurim, if he's a zav or zava or yeledis or what have you, where they have to bring a korban, then they have to wait until they bring the korban before they can eat kodshim, korbanus. Anyway, the point is that a tevul yom is allowed to eat cholin, and cholin means even ma'aser sheni, posel b'truma, yet that tevul yom makes truma posel when he touches it.
Makes it possible when he touches
it. Makes it possible because the tevul yom is considered a sheni of the truma. So he makes the truma a shlishi of the truma. And truma, there's such a thing, shlishi of the truma. So we see that he's considered truma relative. He's considered tamei relative to truma and not to cholin. So therefore, continues the Kal v'chomer kikar. So then, if you have a loaf of bread with a kikar sheni, a loaf of bread which became a sheni, shapossel b'cholin, where even when it comes to cholin, is considered possel in the sense that. In the sense that again, if you have bread of chulin, which is sheni, then it actually is considered sheni. It's called posel as opposed to tamei because it can't make something else tamei. But nevertheless, it's posel. In the case of chulin, it wouldn't matter. You can eat chulin that are tamei. But in the case of ma'aser sheni, for example, you wouldn't be able to eat it. So ein din sheyasa shlishi b'truma. How much more so then that it should make a shlishi when it comes? How much more so that if it touches truma, then it should make it a shlishi. Because again, the point is the tevul yom himself is allowed to eat ma'aser sheni, but if he touches truma, he makes it posel. So then, if the bread itself is posel to eat as ma'aser sheni, how much more so that should make truma tamei and make it into a shlishi. Now Rashi points out on the face of it though you have a Kal v'chomer over here. On the other hand, you have to say daya. Don't you have to say that the daya levomen adin lias kenodin? We have one of the rules of Kal v'chomer is you can't make the thing you're learning from the Kal v'chomer can't be more chomer than the one that you're learning from. So in this case, in other words, we're saying that we're learning from a tevul yom. We're learning from a tevul yom who's mutter to eat. He's mutter to eat chulin, which includes ma'aser sheni, but he's passing truma. Now we're saying that the bread should create a shlishi l'truma. Don't we have to apply daya over here? Wouldn't we say that? And wouldn't we say you can't? So fine. All you could say, in other words, is it's as strong as what you learned from, which is that it's also for that. That's also to eat bread of that. It's also to eat bread of truma, which is a sheni or shlishi. Where you're getting this concept that by touching it, he'll make it a shlishi. We just said that if a tevul yom touches bread of ma'aser sheni, he doesn't make it a shlishi because by ma'aser sheni, there's no such thing as a shlishi. So by ma'aser sheni, there's only such a thing that only goes as far as sheni, like any other chulin. By truma, it would go to shlishi. But so Rashi says, because the fact is, if you apply daya over here, then the Kal v'chomer is not teaching you anything at all. You know, the Kavachoyma has to be teaching us something. If we were to say daya in this case, then you're not learning anything from it, because we already know that you can't. We already know that a sheni with truma, you can't eat as truma. So therefore, the Kavachoyma has to be teaching us something. Therefore, we can't apply daya. In fact, Meforshim point out that the Rishonim asks, the Gemara elsewhere in Bava Kamma in particular explains that only Rav Tarfon holds of that concept, that when you don't say daya where it would break apart the Kavah Chomer. The Chachamim disagree. So why are we assuming over here that it would be according to everybody? And in fact, the Tosfos HaRosh says it's one thing, even according to the Chachamim, what we're saying is you can't apply daya where without it you would learn something new from the Kavah Chomer, but not very much. So Rav Tarfon is saying that if when we apply daya, you're only learning like one little new detail or whatever, then he would say you can't apply daya. The Chachamim would disagree and say at least you're learning something from it. In this case, you'd be learning absolutely nothing at all from the Kal V'Chomer. So even the Chachamim themselves would have to agree that you can't apply daya over here. So therefore, we have a good Kal V'Chomer to say, therefore to say that Shlishi by Truma is also to eat. That it becomes possible.
Well, if you can't apply the Kal V'Chomer because
that's the thing. If you can't apply the Kal V'Chomer because of daya, then the Kal V'Chomer is not teaching you anything at all.
Then
there's no Kal V'Chomer in the first place. So therefore, since there has to exist a Kal V'Chomer and we have to learn something from it, then that tells us that we have to learn from that. Therefore, that shlishi by Truma is going to be also to eat, is going to be possible. So now that's the Kal V'Chomer. So because of that Kal V'Chomer, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai knew that a shlishi l'truma is also to eat as far as truma. He was just saying there's no pasuk for it. But the Gemara says ikal mifrach. Can't you slog up that Kal V'Chomer? Malat tvuyam shekain ava truma. After all, the tvuyam started out as an ava truma. Before he tovled, he was an ava truma. He was a tummy mess or a zov or what have you. As opposed to the bread was never an avatoma. So the one answer is fine, but tasty. The one answer is tasty mitvuyam de sheretz. Fine, but you can prove not from a tvuyam who used to be a tummy mess or zav or what have you, rather learn from a person who was a tvuyam after touching a sheretz. He was never an avatoma. The sheretz was an avatoma. He was a rishon l'truma. But the Gemara asks, Mal tvuyoim b'sheretz shekein b'minoi avatruma. And Rashi adds the point, by the way, that once he tovels, he's mutter for cholin, he's still also for truma. And in fact, Rashi goes on to say he's also even to touch truma. Because even Kalim that touched Truma also, you have, when it mentions Tovel and Kalim, it also mentions the point about Bamayim Yuva. It says they have to be dipped in the mikveh, Tomei ad Erev, and they're Tomei until the evening, the Tahar, and then they're Tahar, implying that even when the Kali is an even when the Kali is a Tvul Yoim, then it can't touch Truma, and it would be Matamei if it does. So therefore, in other words, so it's not just a person, but also a keli. What we could be talking about again, where the keli was not an avatruma, because, for example, it became tummy from a sheretz, and a sheretz made it, then the sheretz made it a rishon l'truma, rather than an av.
So now the sheretz has, because the rishon has the power to.
So the sheretz itself is an av, but it makes the keli a rishon. But we're saying the rishon has the capability of making truma tummy, but we're saying that even once it was tovold, so therefore it's not a rishon l'truma anymore. Nevertheless, it can still be matame truma. So you don't have to say, so what the Gemara was saying, you could have slogged up the Kal V'Chomer because every Tvul Yoim started out as an Avatoma. The answer is not every Tvul Yoim starts out as an Avatoma. Some of them start out only as a Rishon L'Truma. For example, a Keli or a person that touched the Sheretz. But the Gemara says, Mal the Tvul Yoim the Sheretz. Still, how are you proving from a Tvul Yoim of a Sheretz? Shekein b'minay Avatoma. After all, if this Keli or this person were to touch a mess, or they would become an Avatoma. So as opposed to food, never becomes an avatruma. Even if Rashi explains, even if food directly touches a mess, then it doesn't become an avatruma. It only becomes a rishon l'truma. So, and Rashi explains how we learn that, because the psukim go on to say over there that once something touches a mess, you have to sprinkle pour aduma water when you have to tovel it in the mikveh. Food can't be tovel in a mikveh. You can never make food tahor by dipping it in a mikveh. Therefore, that implies that it doesn't become an avatoma. It only becomes a rishon or sheni, as the case may be. So therefore, you could argue still that. So what are you telling me? The Kavachomer, again, we're trying to say is to show that food of sheni that touches truma is going to make it a shlishin. But after all, what are you learning it from? You're learning it from Tevul Yom. But even if you're saying that the Tevul Yom you're talking about himself was never an avatoma, at least a person or a keli is capable of becoming an avatoma. Food is impossible for it to become an avatoma. So how is that a good Kavachomer? The answer is Klicheres Yechiyach. The answer is you can learn in return from Klicheres. A Klicheres also can't become an avatoma for the same reason, because you can never dip it in the mikveh. So therefore, we can learn. In other words, you have a kli cheres that was, for example, in an oil mess and became a, or touched a sheretz or what have you, and became a rishon l'truma. And now we're saying and it passels truma, and it passels truma if you touch it, because if it touches it, because again the keli is a rishon and it would make the truma the sheni. So the same way we can make a kavachomer from that to food, which also can never become an avatoma, that food is able to make other food tome and become a shlishi. But the Gemara says, on the other hand, a kli cheres has a unique thing that you don't find by anything else, that it becomes tome even from its airspace, namely if the tumor is just suspended inside the kli cheres, then the kli cheres becomes tomei, even though the truma never touched it. You don't find that by anything else. So fine, you would say tevul yom yichiyach. Well, then go back to the tevul yom where he's not mitamei me'avira, and yet tevul yom is able, the person or the keli that's a tevul yom is able to passel truma. So therefore, b'chozer adin, so you would go back and forth. Loy re'izeh kirizeh, v'loy re'izeh kirizeh. The tevul yom and the kli cheres each have a unique chumrah that you don't have by the other. The tevul yom, the person or the keli not made out of cheres, is able to become an avatoma, whereas the kli cheres is not. But the kli cheres is metameh me'aviroi, where the person or keli made out of other materials cannot. Hatzada shavah shebehen, what do they have in common? Shemutorin b'chulin or poslin b'truma. But they have in common that you would be allowed to use them for chulin, including ma'aser sheni, and they would passel truma when they touch it.
Hands.
No, hands is something else. We're talking strictly daraisa over here. Hands are matami only dirabban.
So shav is that.
Hatzara shav shabahen shehen mutorin shabahen shemutorin b'chulin or poislin b'truma. Both of them, where tvul yoim or kli cheres that became tame, either one of them is mutor to use for chulin, but it will passel truma if it touches it. Rashi, by the way, says that Rashi brings over here that he brings that he had in front of him a girsa, like we say over here in the Gemara, Shemutorin v'cholin v'poslin v'truma. But Rashi says, I don't understand what kind of kli cheres would that be? After all, a kli cheres that became tome is going to be metame ma'aser sheni as well. So Rashi says, okay, maybe b'doichak you could say, for example, that when we say kli cheres, we mean over here one that's covered with somid posel, one that's covered with a very tight fitting lid, and you would say that it prevents chulin or ma'aser sheni that are inside it from becoming tomei, even if it's an oil mess, but it doesn't prevent truma that's inside it from becoming tomei. And Rashi doesn't like that explanation. It doesn't really work out. Doesn't really work out la halacha. So ultimately, Rashi says the correct girsa should be that not shemutorin b'cholin or poslin b'truma, but shemitamin or poslin b'truma. They make truma tome or posel respectively. Namely, if the kli cheres or the tevul yom is considered a rishon l'truma, then they make the truma sheni, which is tome in the sense that it can be metame something else, because sheni can produce a shlishi. If we consider them a sheni l'truma, then they can produce a shlishi, which is only posel, because a shlishi can't make anything further. So that's the difference between tomei and posel. We use the term tomei when something is able to be metame something else, and posel when it itself is tomei and also to eat, but it can't posel anything else. It can't be metame anything else. So Rashi says that's how the girsa should be. that that's how the girsa should be, that what do a tvul yom and kli cheres that became tome have in common, that both of them are making truma tome or posel, as the case may be, depending whether it becomes a sheni or shlishi. So now we can make the kavachomer kosher and kika sheni. So now, how much more so a loaf of bread, which is a sheni of the truma, should poisel b'cholin, where it's able to pasel cholin. Actually, Rashash says the correct girsa should be shaposel b'cholin, because b'cholin there's no such thing as a shlishi, but sheni the truma is also to eat if it's ma'aser sheni, because it's still tame after all. To poisel b'truma, how much more so then that should pasel truma and make it a shlishi. So that's the Kavachomer. So that's the Kavachomer that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai used, and that's he's worried now that a later generation may not realize that. Well, the Gemara says, V'dor Acher, so now that hypothetical later generation that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is worried about, Porich, they would say, you could slog up that Kavachomer, because they would say, Malat Sad HaShavah Shebehen, Shekein Yesh Behen Sad Chomer. It's true. It's true that a Tzvul Yom and a Kli Cheres have each one a unique chumra that you don't have on the other one. One can become an avatar. The tvul yom can become an avatuma. The kli cheres cannot. But the kli cheres is metame from its airspace, where the tvul yom is not. Fine. But the dur acha would say the fact is each one of them has a chumra as opposed to a loaf of bread which has neither chumra. A loaf of bread can never become an avatoma. It's not metame me'avi, right? So you would say, so what are you telling me? That you're going to learn from a tzad ashava between two things, but each of those things has a tzad chomer, it has a chomer in it that you don't find in what you're trying to learn from it, namely the bread. Rabbi Yechon Manzaka does not consider that to be a serious objection. And therefore, so he says it would be a valid kavachomer. But he's concerned that a later generation may think that that's a valid way of slugging up the kavachomer. And the result is they're going to think, therefore, that shlishi is mutter by truma. Comes Rabbi Akiva with his pasuk and teaches us that we see from that pasuk that a shlishi is tomei by truma, is posel by truma. And therefore, now Rabbi Yeshua says, good, now Rabbi Yechaman Zaka has nothing to worry about anymore. Even if they slug up this kavachomer, even if they do argue tzad chomer, then nevertheless, you'll still have Rabbi Akiva's pasuk to learn this din from. So therefore, that din won't be forgotten or misunderstood. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go into some more discussion about the various degrees of Tumah. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yossi, minayim l'ravi b'kodesh shaposel. How do we know when it comes to kodshim that ravi is posel? So far we said, no, we mean kodshim as in korbanos. So far you have chulin, which includes ma'aser sheni. Things go only as far as sheni. Truma, it goes as far as shlishi. Kodshim, it goes as far as ravi. So far we've learned from Rabbi Akiva's, we learned originally from Rabbi Yechanan Zakkai's Kavachomer, and now from Rabbi Akiva's posuk, that there's such a thing as shlishi by truma. So how do we know? Let's go to the next step. How do we know that by kodshim there's such a thing as ravi by truma? So the dinhu. So we would learn it again from a kavachomer. Ma mechusse kippurim shemutter b'truma. Consider a mechusse kippurim. Again, you have a zov, a yoledes, a couple of other cases where they have yet to bring a korban. They have yet to bring a korban, and until they do, they can't eat kodshim. Where are we? Shemutter b'truma. So a mechusse kippurim is mutter to eat truma, because again, all a person needs for truma is tvila and head of shemesh. Again, for ma'aser sheni, all they need is tvila. For truma, they need tvila plus head of shemesh. For kodshim, they need both of those plus the korban when they're a mechusse kippurim. So a mechusse kippurim is mutter b'truma, but posel b'kodesh, but he's posel and osir to eat kodesh. Shlishi should posel b'truma. So in that case, then shlishi, who is posel to eat truma, or food of truma, which is shlishi, which is posel, ein adin hu shiyaser revi b'kodesh, how shouldn't it be a kavachomer that it would create a revi when it comes to kodesh? Again, you have the problem over here of daya. How are you making that what you're learning from it, what you're learning too stronger than what you're learning from. If you're saying that that bread of truma that's shlishi is also, how are you learning? And you're saying because Mechosa Kippurim is allowed to eat truma, but he's not allowed to eat kodshim. Where are you getting? How can the Kabbal Chomer make that what we're learning for that we're learning to the kodshim should be stronger than what we learned from that by truma you only go as far as shlishi and by kodshim you're going to say Rabbi. Again, Rashi says the same idea without if we apply daya then there's no Kabbal Chomer at all. You don't need a Kabbal Chomer. You don't need anything to tell us that shlishi is also by kodesh. Because obviously, if it's also by truma, it's obviously also by kodesh. Actually, it actually says the same kavah chomer that we learned from a tevul yom previously is also going to teach us about kodeshim. So he's saying, and ultimately, we learn the fact that shlishi b'truma. We're not learning from a kavah chomer. In the end, we said we're learning it from Rabbi Akiva's pasuk. So therefore, we have to be able to apply the Kavah Chomer over here. The Kavah Chomer has to tell us that something happens over here. And if we try to slog up that Kavah Chomer by using Dayoi, then we don't have a Kavah Chomer at all. So again, therefore, we have to have the Kavah Chomer. So he continues, V'lomanu shlishi l'kodesh min ha-Torah. So ultimately, we learn the fact that a shlishi would be also by Kodesh. We learn that from the Torah, Uruvi, which is, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, from a pasuk, yeah, Uruvi mikavachomer, and then the fact that Uruvi is Tomei, we learn from a kavachomer. So how does the limud go? So shlishi lakodesh min haTorah menolon. Where do we know min haTorah that a shlishi is Tomei? Dichtiv. We have the pasuk. We quoted on Omer Aleph. V'habosu ashiyiga b'chol Tomei lo yachol. The pasuk says the meat of a korban that touches anything that's Tomei cannot be eaten. Now, what do we mean? B'chol Tomei. Milo yaskin in the noga b'sheni. Now, when the pasuk is b'chol Tomei, that means any kind of truma, even as far down as a sheni of a truma. We learned from the pasuk that Rabbi Akiva brought in the Mishnah, b'chol kli cheres ha-sheyipo mehem al-tarichoy. We learned that there's such a thing as a sheni by chulin, and the pasuk is calling it Tomei, yitma. So therefore, we see that Tomei includes even sheni. So now if we're saying if meat of a korban touches anything that's tomei, then it means it can include that it touched the sheni. But Amar Rachman Allah Ya'achal, and the pasuk is saying you can't eat that meat of the korban. So therefore, we see clearly in that pasuk that shlishi l'truma would be also when it comes to kodeshim. And then Uruvi b'kavachomer. As far as that the Revi is the fact that there's a Revi, that we have the Kavah Chomer that we just said we learned from the Mechosa Kippurim. So let's review, in other words. So when it comes to Truma, so we had like this. We start out with the fact that, first, originally we learned Shlishi B'Truma from a Kavah Chomer. Rabbi Yechem and Zakai's Kavah Chomer. We said that we learned from a Tevul Yom. Then we said there is a potential pircha against that tzad chomer. So therefore, it's tzad chomer, not daya, because we said if you try to apply daya, you have no kavah chomer at all. There's two things you can do with a kavah chomer. You know, you have to remember each of the yud gomer midos shatoru nedreshes behem is really a general principle that includes a lot of sub principles. In the case of kavah chomer, you have a couple of sub principles. One of them is the concept of daya, that if you're learning something from a kavah chomer, you can't make it stronger than what you're learning from. The classic example is, for example, that when Miriam got tzaras and Hashem tells her if she had insulted her human father, she would have to be in disgrace for 7 days, how much more so for the Shekhinah? Now, really, the Kavah Chomer would tell us that she ought to be in disgrace for 2 weeks, but because Daya Levomen Adin Lias Kenodin, therefore it's enough that she's Tomei for 1 week. So in other words, the Kavah Chomer is teaching us that the honor of Hashem shouldn't be less than the honor of her parent, but we can't make it more because of Daya. Here, what we're saying is, without the Kavah Chomer that we learned from Tevul Yom, you would have no Kavah Chomer at all. The Kavah Chomer would be teaching you absolutely nothing at all if you applied Daya. Therefore, you can't do that. Another point, though, you can have
the Kavah Chomer. You know, you can't apply Daya, you still learn.
So you still learn the Kavah Chomer. So the Kavah Chomer tells you, therefore, that in fact, that if a Tevul Yom touches Truma, then he makes it a Shlishi and becomes also to eat. But then we said, ultimately, after we went through the Kavah Chomer and the Tzad HaShava and all that, we said, now the other thing you can do with a Kavah Chomer, you can slug it up using a Pircha. Namely, you can show this, that you're arguing that this one is kal and this one is chomer, and therefore you should learn from one to the other. I can show you something that I can show you a unique feature that the kal has or that the chomer has, which therefore we shouldn't apply it to the other one. That kind of thing is called a pircha.
Pircha means a question, right?
I once saw it compared to in a sefer on the methodology of the Gemara. He compares it to, you know, a kal v'chomer would be, for example, if you say that if a regular person can lift this burden, how much more so a strong person could lift it. But then you say the pircha would be you bring in a point, but that strong person may have a bad back. So therefore, so that would be an example of a pircha. So now we're saying that on the face of it, now conceivably you could have a pircha against this kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yochanan doesn't consider it to be a pircha, but nevertheless, a dur achor might consider it. Therefore, instead, we have Rabbi Akiva's pasuk that teaches us this concept. Now we're saying, now turning to Kodshim, we go like this. The Torah tells us that meat of Kodshim that touches anything tamei becomes tamei. Anything tamei includes a sheni l'toma. Therefore, we see clearly that there's such a thing as shlishi when it comes to Kodshim. Now, for Ravi, we use a kal v'chomer from Mechusa Kippurim, where Mechusa Kippurim, again, is allowed to eat Terumah, but he's not allowed to eat Kodshim, and we know that because the Pasuk says that only once he brings his korban is he completely tohur. So therefore, all the more so, Shlishi, which is also to eat by Terumah, is going to, if it touches Kodshim, is going to make them Ravi. Again, conceivably, we might have thought to say Daya, how are you saying you're learning from a person who is also to eat Kodshim, but doesn't actually make them a Ravi. You're learning from that food that's going to make it a Ravi. How are you doing that? And the answer is, again, without that, you have no kal v'chomer at all. The kal v'chomer about the food wouldn't be telling us anything at all. Therefore, necessarily, we have to apply the kal v'chomer. So we have a kal v'chomer that this sort of thing is Ravi b'kodesh. And it's backed up. So the pasuk teaches us about shlishi. Once we have shlishi, then we use a kal v'chomer to teach us Ravi. So kidamoran, as we said. So however, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, tam beribi eni yadeya. However, Rabbi Yechanan says, I don't understand the reasoning of beribi. Beribi means the great Talmud Chacham. So Rabbi Yossi, who's learning in this way, that you have a pasuk for shlishi and a kal v'chomer for Ravi. So Rabbi Yechanan says, I don't understand how that logic can work. Because after all, you have an upshlug to it right there on the spot. You would have a way of slugging it up. Because prove to the contrary, from the case of food, of truma or kodshim, that touched a tvoyoim, chapotzel with truma, where that tvoyoim, again, if he touches food, then he'll make it, if he touches food of truma, he'll make it possible, as we said before, he makes it a shlishi. Yet if a tvoyoim touches kodesh, he doesn't make it a revi. And we know that, to Tanya, because we learn in a braisa, Abba Sholomer, tvoyoim, he says that a tvoyoim, a person or a keli that was tovold and is still a tvoyoim, so he said that he'll be considered a rishon as far as kodesh in the sense that then you have two levels after that are tome and pasol another one. Meaning, in other words, we're going to say that it's considered a rishon. Then it creates that food is able to he himself is a rishon. The food that he touches becomes a sheni. That food that he touches that food touches. So if he touches bread, let's say, it becomes a sheni. If that bread touches, let's say, meat, then the meat becomes a shlishi. And so that's the tamei shnayim, because both the sheni and the shlishi are able to be the tamei something else. The lifsol echad. And to passel one other one, because from the shlishi you're going to get a revi, but then it's only possible because from the revi you never get chamishi. There's no such thing as chamishi l'truma. That's Rabbi Shol. Reb Meir Oymem Tame Echad or Poisel Echad. Reb Meir says the tvoyoim is only considered a sheni l'truma as far as kodshim. So he's metame one level. So if he touches food of kodshim, he makes it a shlishi or poisel echad. That food of shlishi, if it touches the next one, makes it a revi, and that's that. V'chamim Oymem. And the Chachamim say that the Tvulyoim is not metame at all. All it is, Keshem Shapoisel Oichle Truma Mashke Truma, just as he only passels food of Truma or drinks of Truma and makes them only a Shlishi, Kach Poisel Oichle Kodesh or Mashke Kodesh, the same way he passels food or drinks of Kodesh and makes them a Revi. So therefore, so now Rabbi Yossi's Kavah Chomer is based on the idea that we're saying that a Mechusa Kippurim is he's learning from a Mechusa Kippurim that he's not allowed to eat truma. How much more so that he's Matame Kodshim and that he's Matame Kodshim, but just the opposite. We say, in other words, that we're saying that even by that logic, we would say the Kavah Chomer that if food touches a Tevul Yom, then it's gonna pass all Kodshim. And we're saying that no, only the Tevul Yom is only passing the Ochle Kodesh. He doesn't make them Tomei. He only makes them a Revi. So therefore, obviously, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying we don't have a good Kavah Chomer. How is Rabbi Yossi using this Kavah Chomer to teach us that if a Tevul Yom that the Tevul Yom that the Tevul Yom makes food of Kodshim to be a Shlishi based on what we're saying over here. He makes it a Revi. So the Gemara asked Maske for a Papa. So the Papa says, what's the question? Well, how do you know that Rabbi Yossi holds like the Chachamim, and you're saying therefore you can slog up that Kavah Chomer? Maybe Rabbi Yossi holds like Abba Shol, who says that Abba Shol had said that the Tevul Yom is considered a Rishon L'Truma, and he creates two levels of Truma beyond him, and one level of Psul Sheni Shlishi Revi. So the Tamish Shnayim V'Lif Salechad. So in other words, Abba Shol is saying that food that touches a Tevul Yom is considered a Shlishi. So in that case, then we have a good Kavah Chomer after all. You're assuming that Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yossi has to agree with the Chachamim and say therefore that only that a Tevul Yom creates only a Revi, but Abba Shol holds that he creates a Shlishi. So therefore you have a good Kavah Chomer after all. So the one answer is Isak that Abba Shol Svirla. Yeah, but if you were to say Rabbi Yossi holds like Abba Shol, Lysa the Revi Bakodesh, Ma'uchal Shabba Machnas Tevul Yom, then instead of learning from a Mechusa Kippurim, he could have instead learned the Revi Bakodesh from a different Kavah Chomer. He would learn from food that touched a Tevul Yom. And he would learn like this: Ma'uchal Habba Machnas Tevul Yom, Madach food that was touched by a Tevul Yom, the Tevul Yom Gufei Mutta Bacholin, where the Tevul Yom himself is allowed to eat Cholin and Maisa Sheni. And yet you're saying that when he touches food of Kodesh, he makes it a Revi. So then Oichel Shlishi Habam Machnas Sheni. So food of Truma, which is a Shlishi that comes as a result of a Sheni, that was touched by a Sheni and become a Shlishi, the Sheni Gufei also Becholin, where if it was a Sheni of the Truma, then even by Meiser itself it would be Osir. Ain a Din Sha'Oisir Revi Bakodesh. How much more so that it would make a Revi Bakodesh. So he could have learned the Kavah Chomer that way. The fact that he doesn't implies that he doesn't agree with Abba Shol's understanding that Abba Shol was saying that a Tevul Yom actually makes food a Sheni of the Truma. He has to hold like the Chachamim that a Tevul Yom makes it a Shlishi by Truma. And therefore, in that case, the Kavah Chomer seems then the Kavah Chomer seems to fall away.
Because
we're saying that according to the Chachamim, you're saying that by the same logic, you would say that food that touches a Tevul Yom makes Kodshim when it touches it. And because after all, we're saying that food that touches a Tevul Yom becomes possible by Truma. And we see we don't do that. The Chachamim are just saying that food that touches a Tevul Yom becomes possible, not Tomei. It becomes a Revi. V'chitema. So you can answer back. Maybe Rabbi Yossi didn't use what? Possible means that can't be Matame, something else. Yeah. So you're going to answer Mishum de Ikala Mifrach Malat Vuyam Shaken Abatoma. You're going to answer, like we said before, Tevul Yom is somebody or something that was capable of being an Abatoma. Hi Sinim Mechusa Kippurim, like Parfait. After all, Rabbi Yossi is learning from Mechusa Kippurim, and he didn't point out that distinction that a Mechusa Kippurim was once an Abatoma. So obviously Rabbi Yossi doesn't consider that to be a serious objection. So therefore, so we see that Rabbi Yossi could have learned, look, if he held like Abba Shol, that a Tevul Yom touches food, he makes it, he himself is considered a Rishon L'Truma, and the food of Kodshim that he touches becomes a Sheni, then if he holds that way, so we can't say that he holds that way, because then we would have said that So then he would have used a kavachomer from that, from food that touched a tvul yom, rather than having to resort to a mechusa kippurim. So the fact that he had to learn from the mechusa kippurim shows that he holds like the chachamim, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand how he's learning the kavachomer, because then you seem to be able to shlug it up by the kavachomer, because again we said that food that touched a tvul yom is only by truma, is only a shlishi. And it doesn't create a ravine, as opposed to you want to say your kavachomer is going to tell you that a tivul yom is able to make food a ravine, and it doesn't really seem to follow. But ultimately, though, we're saying we do learn this concept of ravine b'kodesh. There is this concept of Rabbi Yochanan's. So that's Rabbi Yochanan. The Amora is saying, I don't understand Rabbi Yossi's svara, but nevertheless, that's how he learns the kavachomer, and therefore that's how we learn that ravine b'kodesh is in fact possible, and you can eat it.